When last we left the topic of Lee Harvey Oswald in flight from the assassination of John F. Kennedy, he had been apprehended at the Texas Theater, and he was on his way to the Dallas jail to be interrogated for the murder of John Kennedy and the murder of Officer J.D. Tippit. Now, the question of what Oswald's intentions were will always be somewhat of a mystery. As historians, we try to answer these questions to the best of our ability, but it always lies in the area of interpretation. All we can do is interpret the possibilities and our conjectures and our tentative conclusions based on the evidence we have before us. Now, there is a mountain of evidence before us, but sometimes it points in different directions, and that makes interpreting a challenge. And even at the end of our journey, when we finally have an interpretation, when we finally have an argument, we have to admit that it always could be wrong. So that's why we call this an exercise in informed speculation. Now, last time I said that I thought that Oswald was intending to go back across the Trinity River to Dallas in order to have an encounter with his old nemesis, Edwin Walker, that would allow him to carry out the assassination he had tried to accomplish on April 10th, the previous April 10th. But of course, that is speculation too, and there have been many people who have tried to figure this mystery out. One of them was a member of the Warren Commission named David Bellin, who spent a long time in the summer of 1964 trying to figure out where Oswald was headed when he escaped. Bellin was in charge of trying to figure out Oswald's movements and his motives. Bellin finally came to the conclusion that what Oswald was trying to do was to catch a bus east of the Beckley House that would take him to a Greyhound station, not the same station in downtown Dallas, but a different Greyhound station that had a bus that was headed towards the Mexico border. Although Oswald only had a little less than $14 on his person, that would have been enough money to catch a Greyhound bus to the approximate location of the Mexican border. And then he had a pistol, of course, that he could use to maybe rob someone of a little money or otherwise cross the border undetected. Oswald also had, we know, two IDs on his person, both of which had his photograph on it. One was an ID with the name of Alec Heidel, which was Oswald's pseudonym, and the other was an ID with his own name on it, Lee Oswald. So Oswald may have thought that if he could get to the Mexican border, he would catch the news along the way, either by radio or by newspaper. And if he discovered that the man that the police were looking for was Alec Heidel, which would be a logical supposition since the rifle had been purchased in the name of Alec Heidel, then he would use the Lee Harvey Oswald ID to cross the border. But if he discovered that they were looking for Lee Oswald, then he could use the Alec Heidel ID to cross the border. And from there, he might use his pistol, or he might just hitchhike his way to Mexico City. Because remember, Oswald had been a hitchhiker in the past when he could not afford transportation or otherwise could not arrange transportation. So it's quite possible that Oswald would depend on his good fortunes or he would depend on his pistol to catch him a ride to Mexico City. From there, he could easily go over to the Cuban embassy, and perhaps Oswald thought that because of his enhanced revolutionary credentials accomplished by the shooting of JFK, that the Cubans would let him in. Now, this was a stretch from any rational perspective, but Oswald was a desperate man on November 22nd, and perhaps he thought that this would be possible. So one theory is that Oswald was on his way to catch a bus that would take him to the Greyhound station and the Mexican border. The other theory is that he was on his way to catch a bus back over to Dallas to head over to Edwin Walker's house. Now, we know that Edwin Walker was not in Dallas on November 22nd. He was actually on a plane from New Orleans to Lafayette, Louisiana, when he found out about the assassination, and he was so afraid that people would assume that he had something to do with the assassination, that Walker told all the flight attendants to remember him and be his alibi in case anyone accused him of having anything to do with the JFK assassination. So Walker was not in Dallas, but there's no reason to suppose that Oswald knew that. Walker did not advertise his movements to that extent in the days before the JFK assassination, so Oswald had every reason to suppose that Walker was still in Dallas. Nevertheless, there's no solid evidence to believe that Oswald was on his way to accomplish the assassination of Edwin Walker following the JFK assassination, but that has been one of the speculations. Either way, those destinations would take him to the east side of Oak Cliff, which is where he was headed following his departure from the Beckley rooming house. At any rate, Bellin believes that Oswald was certainly intending to take a bus because he had that transfer from the morning, and Bellin was convinced that Oswald was intending to pick up a bus at approximately 1:30 p.m., and he was on time for that bus because the transfer was due to expire soon after 1:30. So Bellin thought that he had it all figured out, that Oswald was intending to go to the Mexican border, pick up a bus that would take him to the Greyhound station, and he could pick up that bus at 1:30. He would be just in time to pick up that bus. So Bellin's argument is a strong one. And yet, for some reason, Bellin is convinced that Oswald was in a hurry because he wanted to use his transfer before it expired, just so he could save a few cents. This does not make sense. Oswald would have liked to have used the transfer, but it wasn't essential that he do so. He had money on his person to afford a short bus trip to the Greyhound station if he didn't have a transfer. He probably asked for a transfer so that he could use it if he could, but if he couldn't, he would simply just have to pay less than a dollar to get his way to the Greyhound station. He would still have enough money for a bus trip to the area around the Mexican border, one way or the other. So in my opinion, Oswald was headed in that direction after he left the Beckley house, and he was intending to pick up a bus, either to go to Walker's place or to go to the Greyhound station and then on to Mexico, one or the other. But something happened between Beckley and the bus stop that would take him to the Greyhound station or to Dallas. Something must have happened because Oswald turned around before encountering Officer Tippett. In my opinion, there was something else going on in Oswald's mind, and we can tell by a newspaper advertisement in the Dallas Morning News that morning, November 22nd. Now, once again, this is pure speculation, but it's informed speculation, because we don't know that Oswald saw this advertisement. We don't know that for sure. We don't know that he would have attached any significance to it if he did see it. But Oswald did read the newspapers thoroughly, and there's every reason to think that he read the paper that morning. And what the paper showed in the advertisements for the movie theaters in Dallas and in Irving was that the schedule for the Texas Theater was published on the morning of November 22, 1963, and it showed that there was a double feature at the Texas Theater. The two movies shown there were War is Hell and Cry of Battle. Both of those were World War II movies. War is Hell focused on the European front, and Cry of Battle focused on the war against Japan. But War is Hell was scheduled to start at 1:20 p.m., and Cry of Battle was scheduled to start at 2:45 p.m. Therefore, if Oswald was headed towards Eastern Oak Cliff and a bus to the Greyhound station, is it possible that he noticed a lot of police cars roaring down the main highway where he would have had to catch that bus? There is some reporting that indeed Oswald may have changed course because police cars were stationed by that bus stop and may have deterred Oswald from completing his journey there. Oswald, as I said in the last podcast, had every reason to be concerned about going back into Dallas because he knew how many police cars were racing around that location, and he had had a bad experience as he escaped from the Texas School Book Depository when his bus was stuck in traffic just a few blocks away from the depository. It is possible that Oswald had a change of heart. Something changed his mind. We know there were police cars racing up and down the area that was adjacent to the bus stop towards which he was headed, and presumably would be around the Greyhound station as well. Perhaps he had doubts about that plan. But if he could get to the Texas Theater by approximately 1:20 p.m., he might be able to melt into the crowd, such as it was, that was entering the theater for the 1:20 showing of War is Hell. Then, after that movie was over, Cry of Battle was scheduled to begin at 2:45 p.m., and there were only a few minutes between the showing of War is Hell and the showing of Cry of Battle. And it was expected that people who were watching the one may well watch the other. It was a double feature. So Oswald could have laid low in the Texas Theater, and he could have gotten there and entered the theater with a fair amount of other people waiting to enter the theater if he made it there by 1:20 p.m. Of course, he encountered J.D. Tippit while he was walking in that direction at 1:13 p.m. He could have made it to the theater by 1:20 if he had been enabled to continue walking at the fairly rapid pace he must have been going. There was one reporting that Oswald was actually in a kind of run prior to the time in which Tippit saw him, and that, of course, could have triggered Tippit to regard Oswald's behavior as suspicious, because not only may Oswald have turned around the moment he saw Tippit, and the moment Tippit saw him, which would have been suspicious enough. But there is some indication that Oswald was either walking rapidly or actually running at the time he encountered Tippit. Either one of those behaviors would have made Tippit suspicious. But the important point here is that Oswald was trying to get somewhere quite rapidly. And at that rapid clip, he could easily have made it to the Texas Theater by 1:20 p.m. There wouldn't have been a lot of police cars in the area. At the time that Tippit encountered Oswald, he was the only police officer in Oak Cliff. Because, again, the police cars that raced over to Oak Cliff were racing there, responding to the shooting of Officer Tippit, which had not yet happened at 1:13 p.m. So this is another speculation, that Oswald was waiting for nightfall. Remember, it was November. Nightfall came early in November, but it wasn't early enough for Oswald at 1:10 p.m. It might be at 5 p.m., which was when Cry of Battle was over, and then Oswald could have resumed his course eastward to the Greyhound station and the Mexican border, if that was his destination. In addition, he could have continued his journey eastward at that point and headed out to the home of Edwin Walker, who presumably would have been at his house in the evening if he was in his house in the afternoon. Of course, we know he was in Louisiana, not in Dallas. But Oswald did not know that. So these are the speculations that we can make, informed speculation. And it's worth traveling these highways of thought and engaging in these thought experiments, because they show us that there was more than one possibility, reasonable possibility, and this makes it very difficult to come up with a final cause, a final explanation for Oswald's behavior. But one of the things we do know is that Oswald consistently denied that he shot either J.D. Tippit or John F. Kennedy. Oswald clearly wanted to pin the blame on others, and among those others were the right wing represented by Edwin Walker. Oswald wanted Walker and his right wing associates to take the blame for the assassination, because, of course, Dallas was looking suspiciously at the hard right in the weeks before November 22nd, and Oswald wanted to do all he could to pin the blame on the hard right. He also wanted to be blamed unfairly for the assassination of John F. Kennedy if he was going to be blamed at all, because that would put him in the good company of the Rosenbergs, as Oswald would have seen it. He believed that the Rosenbergs' execution, which was the act that politicized Oswald in the first place, was the act with which he most wanted to be identified. And if he could be identified as the false assassin of John F. Kennedy, he would be in that good company as he perceived it. And he would also have people looking suspiciously at the radical right, which might help to destroy that long-term enemy of Lee Oswald. Thank you for joining me for this exercise in informed speculation. Next time, we will look at the interrogation of Oswald and see how that evidence supports or fails to support the theories that we've been looking at thus far. This is your host, Rick Ryman, thanking you for joining me on this podcast experience. Until next time, happy listening. That's it for today's episode of AudiblySpeaking.com. New podcast episodes appear on AudiblySpeaking.com approximately once every 2 weeks. Please subscribe to Audibly Speaking on iTunes or whatever podcast aggregator you enjoy. Until next time, this is Rick Ryman. Happy listening!